You've tuned into the Dr. Lo Show with naturopathic doctor, Dr. Lauren Noel, where you hear the best in natural medicine, nutrition, and mindset from the world's top doctors, authors, influencers, and Dr. Lo herself. Trying just to pop a pill for a symptom? You've got the wrong exit. Seeking doable ways to live a happier, healthier life and have fun doing it? Welcome to the Dr. Lo Show.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Dr. Lo Radio. I am your host, Dr. Lauren Noel, and I am currently at the moment sitting on a bed at an Airbnb in Thailand, in Chiang Mai, Thailand specifically, and I'm recording this intro. And it's a pretty cool moment, I must say, looking around and just really grateful for being able to travel and for technology of being able to reach all of you. It's just a really beautiful thing. I've only been on my trip for, I think, 4 or 5 days now, and already I have had the best Thai food of my life, and it was only $1.60, and I've already hugged an elephant and pet an elephant. You can see those photos over on my Instagram if you follow me. My username is Healthy Lo, Healthy L-O, all one word. And also you can follow me over on Snapchat, same name, Healthy Lo. And I have been covering a lot of my trip, and I might still be in Thailand by the time this airs. So you can follow some of my adventures over there. Been really, really fun and highly recommended. It's a great place for super healthy food, really nice people with lots of smiles, and it's actually quite affordable. I want to give some love over to my amazing show sponsor, Organifi. I have not forgotten about my Organifi while I've been on the road. I have a separate bag designated for my little mini travel size Organifi juice packets, and my little travel buddy, my friend Rhonda, has come with me, and I've been giving her a pack every day, and she's loving it. And so highly, highly recommend Organifi green juice. It's all organic. It's freeze-dried superfoods and high in antioxidants. It's anti-aging. That's the reason why we age. Hello, people. It's from free radicals and the different, you know, oxidative stressors that we're exposed to throughout our days, whether it's just, you know, the stress of something emotionally, or if it's something in our environment like smog or pesticides or different residues we're exposed to. And there's just so much in our environment now, even in just the perfumes and the lotions and all these chemicals we're exposed to. And that really does take a toll on our antioxidant system. So anything we can do to help increase antioxidant function is going to help slow down that aging clock and just have us feel younger and feel a lot more energetic. So I love Organifi for that reason. I don't go a day without drinking it, and I highly recommend it for pretty much everybody. So you can get your juice over at Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And only for my listeners, you can get 20% off your juice by entering Dr. Lo at checkout. So that's D-R-L-O. And again, that's Organifi, O-R-G-A-N. IFI.com, and that's Dr. Lo at checkout. So let's get on to the show. My show tonight is all about food, food love, and just getting down and dirty in the kitchen more. I have been doing weekly cooking probably for the last at least 6 months now, and pretty much 3 to 4 nights a week I'm making dinner, and it has been life-changing. I love getting in the kitchen. And had a really fun guest to share with you for tonight. So let's jump into the show. All right, welcome back to the show. We have Chef Allison Schaff on the podcast tonight, and she is the founder of the meal planning website, PrepDish.com. PrepDish helps people save time and enjoy healthy home-cooked meals, and they provide weekly prep-ahead meal plans. Allison also founded Austin-based personal chef company, Prep Dish Personal Chef, and she holds a bachelor's degree in culinary nutrition from Johnson & Wales University and a master's degree in nutrition communications from Tufts. Allison has been a featured guest on over 35 podcasts, including Entrepreneur on Fire, Smart Passive Income, and Food Blogger Pro. She resides in San Juan, Puerto Rico, which is so cool. We can talk across the world like this with her husband, Brooke, and her cat, Lucius Tiddlypuss, is that how I say it?
Yep.
Okay, of course, I love it. Well, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So where did the name Lucius Tiddlypuss come from?
So my husband is a fan of Roman historical fiction books, and in one of the books, Julius Caesar was referencing, like sort of like any John Doe, and instead he said any, Lucius Tiddlypuss that comes around, and he was determined that was going to be the name of our cat. We kind of waited a few weeks after we got him to make sure it fit, but it fit and it stuck, and he loves
So
it.
Lucius has taken on the name and fully embraced it.
Oh yes, he's very regal.
So does he have any nicknames, or do you the whole Lucius Tiddlypuss each time?
Oh yeah, I mean he has lots of nicknames. LT for short,
Right.
it's here,
Of
so.
course. Well, I love it. That's awesome. I've had some very strange names over the years for all my animals, and it's just somehow it just always fits perfectly.
I know, it's funny how that works.
What brought you into this whole world of paleo nutrition, of studying nutrition throughout school? Did you have your own personal story, or how'd you come to this world?
Yeah, it really started with cooking. When I was in high school, I really enjoyed cooking. My home ec teacher happened to take notice of that and set me up with a job working as a personal chef for a local small business. I'm from a small town in Kansas, and so I would go in the summers and cook for a crew of like 10 guys. But I just loved it. I really love being in the kitchen, the creativity, I don't know, it's just really one of my passions. But I was also involved with sports and really active. And so, when I was spending the time to make all this food, I just always felt strongly that it should also be healthy and, make us feel better instead of worse, especially if, you're going to take the time to prepare it. And so that's inspired me to go on and get a degree in culinary and nutrition. Although I never imagined I would go back to actually doing personal chef work when it was all done. But that's really was what my big first career move on my own was, starting that personal chef company, very similar to what I was doing in high school, going into people's homes and preparing meals for them. So,
And
yeah.
so it is really, we're in a world right now, especially in American culture, that we have to really work hard to eat well because there's so much around us, right? Like there's so much advertising we're exposed to. Life is busy, so we're out and about, and we have all these temptations that are always coming at us. And so having a plan and staying ahead of it is, I think, really important so that we keep our health in the midst of a world that is a very challenging place to do that. So I love that this is an area that you focus on, is meal planning and in kind of just having that prepped so that it's easier throughout your day, right? So let's talk about, and let's jump into the world of meal planning. And that this can seem really daunting, I think, especially if some of my listeners, maybe you don't really see yourself as someone who cooks, or you've been someone who tends to eat out, and this is your habit, this is kind of your routine. So how can we approach this kind of world of meal planning and being able to have a little bit more preparation throughout our week in our nutrition?
Yeah, well, first you sort of hit the nail on the head with, making sure you have a plan. I always say waiting until, 5 or 6 o'clock at night to try and decide what's for dinner. That's the worst time to be thinking about that. There's, something that happens throughout the day, sort of a decision fatigue, and after you've made so many decisions, you kind of get tired of making decision after decision. And so, if you can imagine, we've all been there. At 6 o'clock, you're trying to pick out something healthy, but maybe it's easier to, just go with what's convenient. Whereas if you have the forethought and you have it already planned out and, hey, this is what I'm going to have, this is in the fridge, it's a lot easier. You're kind of setting yourself up for success. So, if you can really look at it like that, like how am I going to set myself up to make the right decisions? You want to make it easy for yourself. Sort of like, they say with running, set out your tennis shoes so that way you'll trip over them first thing in the morning, and then you're kind of forced to remember. Same thing with meals. You really want to figure out how can I sort of make the decision easy for myself. And in terms of getting started, I always tell people don't try and plan out 7 breakfasts, 7 lunch, and 7 dinners the first time you're doing it. Like that's overkill. You start small. Even if you start with just like, hey, this week I'm going to plan out a healthy breakfast for every day, then that at least kind of gets you on the right path. So it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. It's definitely, even for me, like I try and plan it out, but there's days where it doesn't happen. So, just trying to figure out that balance of, you know, starting small too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just start with something basic and have a little bit of preparation. And I love that you say you start with breakfast. That's, and we say it's the most important meal of the day. I don't know if that's always true, but I think having breakfast every day is really key. And so having some preparation around that is great. And especially I resonate a lot with the 5 or 6 o'clock and then deciding what to eat. I mean, I'm a busy working girl. I know a lot of people listening are entrepreneurs, or, you know, maybe you have, a 9 to 5 and you come home and you're tired. You have that decision fatigue. Like you said, we have the most motivation and, the most, decision energy in the earlier part of the day. And so waiting until the end of the day to make a decision about what to eat, it's just, let's be real, it's not always going to come out with the best choice. So, mm-hmm. So how are ways that we can have our dinners kind of figured out? That I feel like that's the one that really gets a lot of people.
Yeah. The method that I use, so I can take a step back on the meal plan. So the way that I do it is spending an hour or two over the weekend prepping everything ahead of time. So the actual chopping and mixing and all of that is done ahead of time. Mm-hmm. That's the method I used back when, you know, with the personal chef company. That's the method we use, where we go into clients' homes once a week and kind of set them up with all of their food for the week. So, you know, that's the way the meal plans are set up as well, where it's, you know, what can I do on Sunday? And you'd be surprised at how much of, a meal process can actually be done in advance. So chopping vegetables, sweet potatoes, carrots, onions, all of those things can be chopped in advance. You can mix up salad dressings, marinades, you know, really all of the pieces. You can put together a salad and just keep the dressing on the side. So all of that can be done ahead of time. And so then that way, when you do get home at 5 o'clock, you're not starting from scratch. You don't even have to pull out a cutting board. It's kind of in the fridge, and there's no way your mind is not going to make that meal because you've already put in the effort for it. And, you know, it's really making it as simple as possible by the time you get to that I'm exhausted and hungry point. So, you know, really planning it out. That's kind of where I take it the step further, is not only planning it out, but also kind of prepping out part of it in advance.
Mm-hmm. And cooking in bulk, right? Yes. Making a lot of extras so you can have leftovers.
Yep. Yep. So, and, you know, figuring out, are there ways, so, you know, maybe one week you're going to have a pesto and you put the pesto on the salmon, but you double up the pesto recipe and use half of it on, you know, chicken breasts a few days later. Or, you know, if you're going to have some cauliflower rice on Monday, then have that again on Wednesday. So that way, once you're doing it once, it's not that much harder to just kind of double up and do it again. So the mm-hmm. more you can batch it, and definitely, you know, I always recommend if there's something freezer friendly, like soup, double up on that, put half of it in the freezer, and then it's just waiting for when you are in a pinch and need something healthy.
Right. Like something like sweet potatoes, you can make a bunch of them on Sunday and use them throughout the week in different recipes. I love having some sweet potatoes at breakfast time. You can, mm-hmm. you know, use it as your starch for dinner. So being able to just use it in a lot of different kinds of meals.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one of my favorite ways to do breakfast is to do a frittata. Just make a big old frittata, you know, maybe on a Sunday or Monday, and use that throughout the rest of the week as breakfast. And it tastes great. And you can change it up how you do it. You could serve it with a breakfast salad. You could use some avocado on it. You can maybe add some salsa and make a little more Mexican one day. And so kind of tweaking it and making it taste different. Cause let's be real, we'll get sick of the same thing every day.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I love that. So tell me a little bit about Prep Dish. What is Prep Dish? What do you guys do over there? So give us a little bit of rundown of what that is.
So Prep Dish, it's weekly meal plans. So every Friday I send out a meal plan, a gluten-free version as well as a paleo version. There's 3 pieces to each plan. So the first piece is an organized grocery store. It's organized by department of the grocery store, so you can get in and out as fast as possible. We also have Instacart links. So for people that have Instacart in their area, they can, with one click, link and have their groceries delivered to them, which is really nice.
That's cool.
And then the second piece is that prep ahead piece. So that's really the key piece right there. And that is, you know, what can you do on Sunday in terms of chopping and mixing and, you know, maybe making a frittata or, you know, whatever it is. So it's very specific instructions on what you do on prep day to set yourself up for the week. And then the third piece is just the really, you know, quick and easy instructions on how to finish things off throughout the week once you've already done that prep day.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yep.
I would love to jump into the life of Allison. What's like a day for you of how you might eat throughout your day? What's like a breakfast, lunch, dinner for you?
Yeah. So, you know, it varies, but in the morning, I actually have a pretty big breakfast. I always sit down with my husband and we have a nice meal of, so typically it would be US Wellness meat sausage. I like to have some protein for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And then some sort of either breakfast hash, or if I have leftover roasted veggies, some sort of vegetable, and then maybe some fried eggs on the side. So a pretty hearty breakfast. And then at lunch, I like to do salads at lunches, or leftovers, kind of depends. And then, you know, dinner, gosh, lately I've been doing more crock pot meals, but I do a lot of recipe testing. So sometimes I don't have as much choice in my meals because I'm trying to get recipe testing done, which is where I'm at right now. I'm testing some new recipes for 2017. So I already have plenty of food waiting for me.
Love it. That's great. And so cool. Let's jump into traveling. I do a lot of traveling. I know you do a lot of traveling, and I have a feeling a lot of my listeners do. So that is a very challenging scenario to stay healthy when you're on the road, when you're in airports. It's just, there's not a lot of healthy options. And yes, there's ways to kind of tweak what you're eating and make it healthier on the road. So what are some cool, like maybe travel snacks or little, some strategies to keep it healthy on the road?
Yeah. So a few things. One, I like to start my morning with lemon water. And so I've just started traveling with a few lemons in my bag because that really, I feel like if I start out that way, it's part of my routine. I feel like I've got a good start to the day. So I always throw in a few lemons. So I just have those and don't have to worry about going out of my hotel room to track those down. Mm-hmm. Then in terms of, you know, sort of just travel foods, I always try and do at least some sort of vegetable and have that chopped so I can snack on it, whether it's jicama or cucumber or bell pepper, you know, cherry tomatoes. You don't even have to chop. You can just buy a pint of those. And then for protein, I always like to keep on hand some Epic bars. It's just really nice because you never know if you're going to have to skip a meal in terms of flights being missed and all of that. And so I always like to have something that I can sort of turn into a makeshift meal if I have to, because, you know, when you're on flights, you're pretty much, it's, you know, out of your control when your next meal will be. And then, you know, planning ahead and figuring out, you know, can you rent an Airbnb? If I can get an Airbnb, then it's easier because you can rent to the store, or, you know, if you have a fridge in your hotel, you can stock up your fridge and have your breakfast. So, you know, if I'm traveling and I know I can have a homemade breakfast, it just makes it so much easier than having to track down, you know, so I'm gluten-free. And so sometimes depending on the location, it's just easier to eat breakfast at home than try and track down a restaurant that knows how to handle gluten-free. Mm-hmm. Most of them do anymore, but it's just kind of less stressful if I can do that on my own.
Yes, absolutely. So. Yeah, I totally agree with all of those. I love the idea of having lemons with you. I might have to start doing that one. That's great. And then having little snacks and things. And there are snacks you can bring with you that don't need to be refrigerated, like having some apples, or maybe bring an avocado that is underripe and give it some time for it to ripen up. That those are great things to do while traveling.
Yep, I did. I just got home from the other day and I did an avocado and the tuna pouches because they can just open up, and my husband kind of rolls his eyes at me, but some, the avocado mixed with the tuna pouch, and I dipped some little,
those are little nut butter pouches too. Those are great. Yep,
those were great. And then the other thing I've started doing for flights is bringing my own tea bags, because they always have hot water. And so then that way, if I want to have something, you know, to drink, like, you know, I'll bring a few of my favorite tea bags and then I can ask for hot water and feel like I'm having, I don't know, something a little more special than just water.
So. Yeah, for sure. One other thing I do when I travel is I bring protein powders with me. So I'll bring like a Ziploc bag with, you know, like our MetaClear powder or one of the paleo cleanse powders we have at the clinic. It's just a protein powder that has tons of nutrients in it. So I love doing that and mix in a scoop or two with a, you know, glass of water. I'll bring one of those little blender bottles and add in that. I love adding in my Organifi. They have a little travel pouches. Put that all in there and just mix it up. And it's that can be your breakfast. And it's a really great way if you don't have, especially breakfast at hotels, if you're staying at something like a like a Hilton or something where they have maybe a continental breakfast they provide, but let's be real, those breakfasts really are crap. So,
yeah,
so having an option for breakfast, that kind of sets you on a good foot to where you make better decisions throughout your day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Love it. And also one thing I also do is I carry a little travel size of MCT oil. So I got this from Bulletproof. It's a little one. I keep it in my purse because the one area where we get off track when we're traveling is the kind of fats that we have. So whether it's in salad dressing, sometimes I'll just use that for a salad dressing. I'll just drizzle some of that, maybe squeeze some of the lemon that you're going to have with you. Or if you're at a restaurant, they may, you can ask for little lemon wedges and squeeze that on there, add some salt and pepper. And then you have your own little salad dressing and you're not eating all the crap that they have. Because most salad dressings you're getting from restaurants, even if you get like a balsamic vinaigrette, it's going to be something like soybean oil or canola oil. And that's where, you're bringing in some of the GMO kind of things in your diet. I mean, most soy and most canola in our country is genetically modified. So that's where you can have something as healthy as a salad, but it can kind of ruin a lot of the health benefits of it by adding all these crappy fats. So bringing in your own fat is a great way to do that. And also if you are someone who likes sweet kind of taste, you can bring in like a little liquid stevia dropper and use that maybe in, coffee or ways to kind of sweeten stuff up. So you're not having to reach for some of the sugars.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. You learn over the years being on a plane. I'm sure you, and actually you said you get U.S. Wellness Meats. Do they deliver out to Puerto Rico?
They do. Nice. I know. It's been such a treat. So, I put that order in.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Always have our freezer stocked and that makes it easier in terms of, I always know there's some protein waiting for me in the freezer. So that's
right. Love it. So yes, if you guys listening haven't heard of US Wellness Meats, it's a website that delivers healthy meats right to your door. So if maybe you don't live near a Whole Foods or near a health food store, there isn't any excuse because you can just get it online and have it come right to your door and it's nice and fresh. And so we can always have good, healthy meats. And I always say that if you are comparing eating organic fruits and vegetables to eating organic meats, the organic meats is a lot more important because those animals are eating all these pesticides over and over and over again if you're eating conventional meat. And that is just going to have so much more negative health effects than having fruits or veggies that have pesticides on it. And I will say if you can afford to have all organic, great. But if you're going to really prioritize your dollar, it's having the healthy proteins is even more important. So important stuff. So cool. Well, let's talk.
And even better on that, I just want to point out too, there's sausages and like chorizo, because it's really hard to find sausages and chorizos without added sugars. And U.S. Wellness Meats have some really good clean labels.
Right. So. And even gluten-free too. It's sometimes there's little hidden sprinkles of gluten in some of these different foods as well.
Yep. Yeah.
And you can also get really brave and try their liver or their, what are some of
We do the Braunschweiger and liverwurst. My husband loves all those. And I've learned to really like them. So we do that.
And do they have organ meats too?
I think they do. I've ordered those.
Well, I know that's liver you just said, but I don't know if they had other organs.
I think they do. And
Play
around with a few of those things.
Yeah.
The Braunschweiger and liverwurst is like the easiest because you can just kind of slice it and fry it up. And
Sure. So I love that. Let's talk about in the kitchen. So I've actually become a very regular cook in my kitchen, which has been really, really fun. And it's so worth having good quality equipment. It makes it so much easier having good tools to cook with. So what are some of your must-haves in the kitchen?
So number one is a good quality knife and cutting board. If you're going to be eating healthier, sometimes you can find pre-chopped vegetables, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to do some chopping. So a small little paring knife just isn't going to work. So a good quality chef's knife or, even like the Santuco, which is kind of like the thicker blade. But I like Wusthof, but, a lot of the nicer brands work. But, for a good quality knife, you're probably going to have to spend about $100, which really for what you're getting is totally worth it. But number one, you need to have that good quality knife and a good solid cutting board to go with it. Sometimes I'll go into people's homes. I used to give, cooking instructions in people's homes. And that was the biggest thing that I saw was people trying to cut with the wrong kind of knife. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having some people have the glass cutting boards, but those really should just be for decoration. Mm-hmm. Those shouldn't be used for chopping. So some sort of wooden, I mean, even plastic is, you know, the plastic ones are okay too, but definitely no glass cutting boards allowed. Those, mm-hmm. those don't work. So cutting board and knife, number one thing to have. And then the number two thing is, and this is an investment piece, but I say either a good quality blender or food processor. You know, ideally you could have both, but really, even if you just have one or the other, you can usually use them for the, you know, there's a lot of crossover in their purposes. But investing in a good quality blender or food processor is well worth it. There's just a lot of dishes that require that, and you'll be glad that you invested.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any particular brands you like? I have a Vitamix for my blender.
I have a Vitamix. BlendTech is also really good. When I was doing the personal chef business, I always made sure clients either had a BlendTech or a Vitamix. So those were the two acceptable brands. Right. I found they both worked. And food processor, Cuisinart's, usually Cuisinart, KitchenAid, they both make good food processors.
And I've had the same Vitamix for over 10 years. So it's really not expensive if you look at the longevity of it.
Yeah, I bought a refurbished model about 10 years ago and it's still going strong.
Right.
So yeah. Then the other must have is, you know, if you're going to do prep ahead, is to having some nice glass containers. So Container Store has some really nice ones that are glass with the BPA free lids, and they snap off and on. They seal in better, so it like keeps food fresher, and also it doesn't have, you know, a lot of the plastic containers contain BPA, which you want to avoid, but also just in terms of freshness, it's a lot, you know, food looks more appetizing coming out of a glass container, and it's going to stay fresher longer, and transfers to the freezer really nicely. So if you make something and then, you know, like soup, and you don't finish it off, you can just shift it into the freezer. I also like to have labels on my containers, and Container Store also has some nice reusable labels where you can use a Sharpie and then wipe it off. And those come in really handy for, you know, putting dates and labeling what's in there, especially when you're putting things in the freezer, because it's hard to keep tabs on that mentally. So mm-hmm. I like to have it labeled.
Yeah. Awesome. What about pans? Do you have any particular pans that you like to cook with?
Yeah. I go back and forth on, what was the one? I'm trying to think of the brand of the one we got this year that I really like. We bought it at Williams Sonoma. I actually think I bought Williams Sonoma brand. I can't remember. We bought a stainless steel pan. So I love cooking with using like a cast iron skillet, but here in Puerto mm-hmm. Rico, we have an electric stove, and we didn't bring our cast iron. So I bought a stainless steel pan from Williams Sonoma, and that's worked really well. It actually took a little bit of getting used to. It's not, you know, it's not the same as using a nonstick, but of course it's, it's going to be, you know, healthier for you. And so I've really figured out, I've mastered how to use the stainless steel pan now. And that's sort of my go-to. I try and avoid the nonstick if I can.
So how do you navigate that, using stainless steel and not having a huge mess that takes an hour to clean the pan?
So the biggest thing is, after I'm done cooking with it, we have a hot water like teapot, and I fill it up with hot water and let that set for 15-20 minutes, like with the lid on it, and mm-hmm. then it wipes clean.
Like,
magically. Smart. There's no like scrubbing involved. So that's the key. Once you do that, it's easy to take care of, and it comes clean almost just as well as a nonstick pan.
I think you might have just changed my life.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Try that and tell me how it goes.
Nothing worse than scrubbing different. A stainless steel thing, especially if you're making eggs, you know, and those just do not like to come off. So I love that. The steam
yep.
hot water.
And we use it for eggs. The only thing it's not, pancakes are still, I'll do pancakes in the stainless steel, but the, you know, a griddle's really going to be best for pancakes.
So yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's the only thing.
Any other things in the kitchen that you, some tools that you use a lot, or things you couldn't live without?
The other one that I use a lot, that's a really easy one to buy if you don't have it already, is a microplane. I love using citrus zest and, you know, grated ginger and things like that to help kind of brighten up a dish. And that's, you know, a nice microplane or grater is, you know, $10 to $15.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one that I would recommend having on hand.
One of my favorite tools is a garlic press. I cannot stand having my hands smell like garlic for hours.
Yeah. I do it the old fashioned way, but I can see why you would do that, because it is, that smell lingers.
What about a mandolin? Do you use one of those?
I do. I use it. I'm trying to think what I use it the most. Well, I used to use it for like veggie noodles, but you know, now the spiralizer works much better. So I do like having the spiralizer. I use a mandolin a lot for like lasagna noodles.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't use it as much. I'm more just a knife and cutting board girl.
So a spiralizer has replaced your mandolin use pretty much.
For the most part, except for the lasagna noodles.
So what, do you use it mainly for lasagna noodles? Or sorry, the like zucchini, are you using like zucchini pasta for the spiralizer? Or are there other things you're making with that?
Zucchini, really mainly just zucchini and sweet potato. I like to do sweet potato noodles.
Oh.
And that's really it. I mean, I've played around a little with other stuff, but I don't go too crazy with the spiralizer. The problem is, and it's one of those that's kind of on the border, but when I'm creating the meal plans, I try not to require any fancy equipment. So I do have an Instant Pot and I like using it, but I don't want to write recipes that require it, because I know a lot of my subscribers don't have one, and I don't want to make recipes that are hard for them. And so same thing with the spiralizer. I do some of the noodles, but I make sure there's some sort of substitution option so they don't have to have the spiralizer for my recipe.
Yeah.
Make it too hard for them.
One tool that is so great to use in the kitchen is the freezer. And it maybe isn't something we think about oftentimes, is making foods ahead of time and then freezing them. So any tips with that? What are the kinds of things that we can use in the freezer?
Yeah. So with the freezer, there's so much that can be frozen. Every time I go on, that's kind of like the number one travel tip is, before you leave, stick stuff in the freezer, because I feel like the few days when I get home from a trip, I kind of, you know, there's enough settling going on that it's kind of nice to have food I can just pull out of the freezer.
Right.
So, you know, any soups and casseroles or lasagnas, anything like that, always freezes well. A lot of breakfast items do. So, you know, frittatas and baked goods. I like to freeze mashed sweet potato. That works really well. And even mashed cauliflower I've frozen. Roasted veggies, I'll freeze and I'll eat them. The texture sometimes, you know, it's not quite the same, but I don't mind it. You know, for proteins, just having the U.S. wellness meats in there is pretty nice.
Even if you haven't
cooked them yet. So I always keep it well stocked with protein options, and sometimes for trips, just having something in your pantry when you get home. So having like an acorn squash that I can stick in the oven, because that'll stay good for a few weeks. So I can buy that ahead of time. I just try to avoid like immediately having to run to the grocery store when I get home.
Right. No, I love that. It's great. It's having food ready for when you get back, because it does take some time to get back into your normal routine and getting back into, you know, having your foods ready for you. So having some ready in the freezer that's really smart.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
And do you have any particular favorite paleo foods or recipes?
I really like spaghetti squash with marinara, like some sort of ground beef and marinara. It's so simple. I like to do mine with sliced mushrooms and usually some sort of green cut up in there. But that one is just one of those, you know, one of those meals that comes together quickly, and we always enjoy it, and I don't really get tired of it. So it's sort
and you
of
can
a,
make it in so many different ways too. You could do pesto, you could do marinara, you could do more of like a, you know, creamier kind of sauce. I love that. If you guys haven't tried spaghetti squash, you're majorly missing out. And it's such a great alternative to something like spaghetti, because it's lower in carbs and it doesn't have the inflammatory effects on the body. So good.
Yeah, that's really one of my favorites. And then I like doing meats in the crock pot. It's so funny. I grew up eating roast, and I used to hate when my mom would always make roasts. And now I find myself making them, and especially if we have company or something. So it's just easier if there's a crowd to just have, you know, a big roast that everyone can share.
But, oh, yeah. And you come home from work and it just smells so good in the house. Yeah. I always forget too. For some reason, whenever I do a crock pot, I forget that I do it. And I come home and I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, so good. It's the best surprise.
That is nice. So, and then, you know, really, I like breakfast hashes, you know, cut up sort of some, I don't know, any sort of vegetable, sweet potato, parsnip, carrots, you name it. I'll cut it up and maybe add some either sausage or bacon and onion and garlic. And I don't know, there's something about that with, you know, a soft cooked egg on top that I just really enjoy in the morning.
It's very nurturing, a comfort food, but still healthy.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, I would love to, I know that you have created a special deal for our listeners over at Prep Dish. So for you guys listening, we have a special deal. You can get a couple weeks as a free trial to try out Prep Dish. So I think we said it's prepdish.com/Dr. Low, right? And
yep.
You enter Dr. Low at checkout, just DRLO at checkout, and you can get a couple weeks free of meal planning for you.
Yep, it's a 2-week free trial, and I always say the best way to see if it's a fit is try it out and see if it works for you.
Yeah, and also too, I mean, I will say, like, what I feel like the worst part about cooking for myself is figuring out what the heck to make, going through all the different cookbooks and planning all of it, and it's like that's the part that takes the most time, because I mean, I love cooking, but it's all the other stuff that's a pain in the butt, so it's really nice just to have it all taken care of, it's handled, you just basically follow the list, you go to the grocery store, buy whatever you say. I don't have to do all that figuring out work.
Yep.
Yeah. Super easy. Cool. Well, so great to have you on the show, Allison. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time. And I know that this is a service that is really, really helpful for people. Did you have any parting words, anything else before I let you go?
No, I appreciate you having me on, and it was nice chatting.
Yeah, for sure. Give Lucius some love, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
I will. He's right here listening to every word.
All right, y'all. That is our show for tonight. Thank you so, so much for tuning in to the show and for the continued support. Thank you so much for those of you who have left reviews over on iTunes. It means the world to me. And if you've been listening to the show and loving it, please leave me a review and let people know what you think about the show. It means so much and helps more and more people hear about the show. I would so appreciate it. And just giving you guys some love from Thailand. Love you all so, so much. Have an amazing rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Dr. Low Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And for more after the show, you can head over to drlowshow.com, where you can find the show notes. Be sure to subscribe to the show and share with all your friends. And please head over to iTunes and leave the show a 5-star review and leave a comment. I read each and every one, and they warm my heart. Thank you so much again for joining us. I promise to keep bringing you fun, inspiring, empowering content. Until next time, lots of love, and I'll talk to you soon.